Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Four Dimensions of Prayer.
Right, so Psalms 121, verse 1 and 2, amen, and then verse number 8. Psalms 1 and 2. Amen. And then verse number 8, when you have the word, one more time, say, I have the word. All right. If you need a minute, amen. Say, I need a minute. I need a minute. All right. Everybody's got it. Amen. Psalms 121. Let's read it. Amen. Together. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Skip down to verse number 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and evermore. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in, amen, from this time forth. And from this text, from a topical man, I want to talk about closed doors and open windows. Closed doors and open windows. Father, thank you for the word that you placed in my heart. Give me articulation of speech. Let me declare truth. Give me power that is impactful and powerful, Lord. Give me preaching power. Don't leave me at the cross, but take me to Pentecost, Lord. But don't leave us at Pentecost. Baptize us again and again and again. As we've been looking at Romans 8, amen, in our study last week, God, and it so, oh God, inspired us to this form of ministry. God, let us be filled with your spirit, God. Then let us, oh God, go after your spirit, Lord. And then show us how to dwell in your spirit when it manifests, Lord. And then at times, Lord, just overwhelm us, overshadow us. Overshadow us until your spirit dwells in us richly. Until we're never the same again. Tonight, oh God, today, God, as I declare your truth, destroy ignorance, Lord. As I declare your truth, God, remove false statements and false ideologies. Your kingdom is coming, and your kingdom is coming in power. You're coming in demonstration, not with excellent speech or enticing words, but in demonstration of your power. So speak today, Lord. Circumcise our ears that we can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Don't leave us at Ephesus. Don't leave us at Sardis. Don't let us be lukewarm. But let us find our way into the church at Philadelphia, Lord. That you know our works, Lord. So speak today, Lord. That there will be a reformation that leads to redemption and restoration that would lead to revival. Speak today, Lord, with fire. Speak today, Lord, with impact. Speak today, Lord, with destroying the works of the enemy. Be intentional with every statement that I make, God, that you cancel every assignment of the enemy. Be intentional today, God, that what is done, God, it tears down Satan's kingdom, but it lifts up the kingdom of God. Be intentional today, Lord. Even those that may be viewing us, amen, through Facebook, amen, I pray that you'd send the word and heal us, Lord. Send your word and deliver us, Lord. And then when you finish with us, Lord, let us be able to say, as the two disciples said on the Emmaus road, did our hearts not burn while he dwelled among us? Set a fire down in our soul today, Lord. Set a fire down in our soul today that we'll heal the sick and we'll raise the dead. We'll pray for the blind eyes and eyes will come unstopped. But this week, God, you had me praying for spiritual blindness, Lord. Remove spiritual blindness from our eyes that we can see the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Lift up the veil that the enemy has tried to cover our eyes that we can't see. Through the speaking of your word today, God, put our side on our eyes, God. We come out seeing, not seeing men as trees, but we see men as men. We see what you're revealing to us clearly. Speak today, Lord, so spiritual blindness is removed, God, and we can see what it is that you're trying to show us. You don't want us to see as the world see. You want us to see through the eyes of Christ and the eyes of the Godhead. So as I preach today, Lord, remove spiritual blindness, that we can see, that we can bring a finality to some things, that we can operate in the priestly ministry of the believers, that we'll end up doors closed and windows open. Give me great plainness of speech, God, that when we end up today, God, doors are closed and windows are open. Don't let me stop, God, until everyone under the sound of my voice get the revelation that this is the season of closed doors and open windows, Lord. Preach to me today, Lord. Thank you for everybody you brought from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Greater Hillendale, Lock Raven, Townsend, Morgan. The territory that you've given us is giving up a harvest, Lord. And we thank you. We glorify your name. This is our prayer. This is our decree. This is what our faith says is going to happen. And we declare it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen and amen. Somebody said real loud, closed doors and open windows. Ask your neighbor, did you catch that? All right. Closed doors and open windows. I will lift up my eyes from the hills from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and earth. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even and forevermore. We're in a different kind of season. Time is not as it has been. Hebrews said they are sundry times. With different kind of season, and I pray that the spiritual activity that's going on around us will not so disturb us that we're discouraged, that we're hopeless, that we give up, because we should have done read to the end of the book, and we should know how this is going to turn out. And minstrels beside holding, you guys can go ahead and be released. All right, just stay with me a couple more minutes, holding it. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to say that again because of all the spiritual activity that's going on all around. And unless you live a bubble, amen, all by yourself in your own world, then you're not conscious of the spiritual activity that is going on all around. And if you're not careful, you are discouraged. And you don't think, amen, things are going to work out after his counsel. And you're wondering, is the evil ones are going to win? Amen. But God wants us to understand, I've already told you how this is going to end up. I've already told you how this is going to come to a conclusion. I'm going to gain victory over that evil one. And I'm going to redeem and I'm going to restore and I'm going to cause to come back to life what the enemy thought he could kill, steal, and kill from. Come on, tell your neighbor, amen. We already know how this turns out. We already know how this turns out. So come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, lift up your head. Lift up your head. Put a smile on your face. Do you not know that the joy of the Lord is your? So today I want to talk for a few minutes about closed doors and open windows. I want to talk about the fourth dimension of prayer. Amen. What are the four dimensions of prayer? Amen. And I'll let you go in 1 second. Amen. Hold on. Just stay there with me. What are the four dimensions? Because I believe with all of my heart, if we don't bring a simplicity of our understanding, then we'll make Christian colloquial statements but have no real, amen, meaning to our lives. It just sound good tweety. I'm going to say that again. If we're not careful, we'll have a lot of Christian sayings that they sound good tweeting, but because we have no foundation, because we have no simplicity in their understanding, we don't really live like that. And God trying to bring us to a place that however we tweet, that our foundation is so solid that if somebody tweet back, it don't discourage us that it ain't going to happen. So we got to get some foundational stuff established. We got to get some understanding because God is not a microwave. He's not Santa Claus. He's not your, amen, sugar daddy. Some things you pray about, you're going to have to pray again about. So what are the four dimensions of prayer? All right. The first dimension is the posture of living surrender daily. All right. We really are not praying until we're surrendered. All right, because Jesus taught us, don't pray your will, but pray not my will, but your will be done. But the only way you can pray that prayer is you have to be surrendered. Paul said we die daily. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, how is the surrender life working for you? Well, what was happening was truth of the matter is we really don't know where we should go Tuesday. Truth of the matter is we really don't know the job that we really need. Truth of the matter is, single folks, listen real good. You don't really know who you ought to marry until you've gone into prayer. Because love is blinding. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And then marriage is an eye-opener. So we have to, in the first posture of prayer is, we have to figure out how do I surrender that I pray his will and not my will? How do I surrender that I go where he wants me to go and I do what he wants to do? How do I surrender that I can hear him at my baptism say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Are y'all listening to me? Somewhere on this Christian journey, we ought to hear affirmation from heaven that he's well pleased. Y'all not saying anything. I'm going to say that again. Somewhere on this Christian journey, you ought to hear affirmation that where you went, what you did, how you blessed, how you cared for, how you made a way for, how you pushed back there, that he is well pleased and this is his doing in his eyes. Ask your neighbor one more time, how you doing with this surrendered life? There is a place of surrender that you know that he's well pleased. Number two, what is the second dimension? You cannot go to the next dimension until you master the first dimension of just living surrender. Come on to your neighbor, stop fighting and just surrender. His yoke is easy. The way of a transgressor is hard. Just surrender. Come on, tell somebody else, just surrender. Some of us can tell you what it is like fighting the will of God. Guys, okay, everybody gonna act like now they so surrendered. But some of us can tell you what it's like to fight the will of God. And if we get you behind scenes and it wouldn't be all these people that we try to impress, we would tell you, bought the wrong car, went to the wrong college, dated the wrong person. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And it is only now, like Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Some of us have learned to live surrendered because what it is like not being surrendered. So ask your neighbor one more time, how is the surrendered life working? I can't answer that for you. You have to answer. When we're living surrendered, our life is constantly examined by our prayer life with God. Don't miss it. When we're living the surrendered life, it is in prayer communicating with God that our life doing are constantly examined. I'm going to say that again, and you don't need to miss this, all right? Because the unexamined life, according to Socrates, is not worth living. And he was trying to get to happiness, and he was trying to get to fruitfulness. And he said, if you don't examine your life, you will never get to happiness, and you will never get to fruitfulness. Well, it is in the arena of prayer that God's, especially if you pray biblically, and you don't pray like God is Santa Claus. When you play biblically, you slow down. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but you finally slow down and he tell you. You remember what you said to your husband the other day? Before you pray to me, go back and tell him you're sorry. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. You remember them 3 weeks that you was late every day? You need to go apologize to your supervisor and tell him you're going to do better. Okay, yeah. See, the only thing we right now know about prayer is give me, gotta have it, and I'm going to grab it. See you later, God. But when we're surrendered, when we come to prayer, come on, Ellen. He start talking about stuff that we don't really want to talk about. Okay, y'all ladies, okay, I need some prayer warriors to say amen here. When you really start praying biblically, God will start asking you questions in prayer like, how you doing with reading the word? Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. I'm talking about real praying, biblical praying. I ain't talking about this modern feel-good church age that we're in, that you just come in here, get what you want, then go about what you're going to do. And get your car, get your house, get your husband. No. I'm talking about biblical praying, that when you finally start communicating with God and have a father speaking back to you, he start dealing with stuff that must be examined. So the first dimension of prayer is surrender. The second dimension is lining ourselves to desire and seeking after one thing. Now, I need to keep making this plain. It does not mean that we're not praying about other stuff. It means that we have one thing at the center focus of our prayer, that when he does that, it's going to blow our minds into other things that we may even be considering. I think prayer room told us to go into the closet. War room, thank you, and just write a whole lot of stuff down, and then 2 weeks later, it's going to happen. I ain't saying that was a bad movie, but some of the message ain't quite accurate. You can't go in no room, write a whole bunch of stuff down, and then when you come out, boom, it happened. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing. When you go in that room, you're going to have to stay there and talk to God for a little while. Okay, y'all ain't staying there. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just giving constructive criticism. Movies and television shows give us this image that if we do it like she did it, then we're going to get what she got. Her husband going to be acting right. And I can't wait to get to number three. Sometimes you're praying and you got to wait. So the second posture is line ourselves with one thing that we desire, and we begin to prioritize with what God desires. In stage two, we begin to prioritize with what God desires. Don't pray your whole Christian life a whole bunch of prayers that never get answered. Somewhere in prayer, you have to start prioritizing by what God desires. Okay, I hear you, Holy Spirit. Sometimes what we're asking is not even on his radar. Thank you, Elder LaShawn, and I know she prays. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes what we're asking about, not even on his radar. And we got to get prioritized that, God, what's on your radar? Let me tell y'all some of the things that's on his radar. That our communities be saved. That our coworkers be introduced to Jesus. Somewhere you got to stop battling where you should go to work or not. You got to go because they got to be saved. Come on, Jared. The other day I was asking him, was he going to work? And I saw in his face that he really didn't want to go. And when I asked him later, did he go to work? Absolutely, Pastor Lawrence, I went to work. And only thing I could think of, he went to work because he knew somebody needed to be saved. I'm glad I got two really light hand claps. Somewhere our prioritizing in prayer have to be, God, what you want. And y'all need to hear me. Sometimes God will have you praying for people that they don't even know you praying for them, and it'll be for a good season. And it'll be what takes priority. Can I go a little bit deeper? And sometimes it'll be people that hate your guts. And God will say, don't stop praying for them. Stay with me, Holden. I'm about there, son. And God will say, they'll say one more thing, and God say, pray a little bit harder. They'll be talking about you on your job, and God say, don't say nothing back. Go back and pray for them. And you'll hear some rumor that they said about you, and God, the only thing God will say is, now pray for their children and pray for their next generation, because you are going to save their life. Y'all better please hear me. We've been introduced to God that is not a God of the Bible. He'll begin to prioritize our prayers. And he won't let you stop praying for that neighbor. And you don't even know that neighbor's name. He'll have you praying for a country and you don't even know. He woke me up real early this morning. And he began to talk to me about houses of worship. And I said, God, are you talking about the houses of prayer? He said, no. I said, houses of worship. And I began to pray for houses of worship. And I included some people that we don't think are godly. And I said, you sure you want me to pray like this, God? And he said, yes, pray for the houses of worship. He said, because I'm going to help some of them that's going after Muhammad, and some of them going after Buddha, and some of them are going after some false deity through their going to a house. I'm going to turn them to the way, the truth, and the life. Tell your neighbor, he's trying to prioritize your prayers. Third dimension, after we align ourselves to the desire and what we're seeking after, the third dimension is formulating and speaking words of faith. Formulating and speaking words of faith, conversation by conversation, which agrees with the thing that God has us focused on in prayer. I cannot say loud enough, don't negate in prayer what you're saying out your mouth. Don't negate what you've been praying for by what you say out your mouth. Even if you got to keep your mouth closed. You cannot pray for your child and then talk about your child like a dog. You cannot pray for revival over Baltimore and agree with everything that Fox News is saying. At somewhere, whatever you're saying in prayer, you got to then make it your words. If we believe in that God going to heal Baltimore and call revival to come in Baltimore, I don't care what's going on with Mayor Pugh right now. God's going to cause revival to come in Baltimore, and I'm going to agree with that with my words. Jesus said in John 6 and 63, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. He said, life and death lies the power of the tongue. And he that loveth shall eat the fruit thereof. We are living what we spoke another season. And whatever I'm praying for right now, I'm going to make sure conversation by conversation that my words agree with what I'm saying in prayer. Do me a favor, ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, check yourself out. Say, do your words over the last 24 hours agree what you've been praying for the last 3 months? Because there's a big disconnect too often. And then we wonder what happened. And it wasn't the devil. It was our words. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes we wonder, man, that old devil, that old Beelzebub, that old skull cat got on the line and he messed up what I was praying for. No. It wasn't him. It was your words. Go read about Daniel, chapter number 10. The Bible says that the angel or the ruling angel said to him, from the first day that you prayed, I heard your prayers, and I have come at your words. Real quickly, over the things that you've been saying the last 24 hours, what would you attract to come to you by what you've been saying? Would you attract the demonic, the devilish, or would you attract the divine and the godly and the host of heaven by what you're saying? What would you attract? Too often we're praying one way, and we're speaking entirely another. In the third dimension of prayer, our words that we're speaking every day begin to agree with what we're praying for. If I'm praying for salvation and for my sons, that when I speak to my sons, I speak things of affirmation that they are saved, that they are delivered, and they are healed. I don't care what the report comes to me. I don't care what the diagnosis comes to me. When I speak of my son, when I'm praying for their salvation, I speak and I declare, Satan, you can't have them. I look at demons and devils all around them, and I say, get up off of them. I look at the situation, and I make sure whatever it is I'm saying in prayer, I say with my words. And this is a big dimension I hear in the spirit for many of us. Got to upgrade your vocabulary. You got to catch it before it come out. Come on to your neighbor and say, neighbor, catch it before it come out. We're going to speak life. Somebody say real loud, we're going to speak life. Whatever it is I'm praying for, that's what I'm going to say going to happen. Whatever it is I'm praying for, that's what I'm going to say with my constant mouth. God asks questions, and there's one that I'm digging out right now that he asked one of the 12 minor prophets that God asked him, and I finally realized God was asking him so he could say the right thing about what he see. Some of the very inquiries that God is asking us, this is what we do, guys. Come a little closer. We regurgitate facts, and we don't have the boldness yet to speak faith at facts. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I got to learn how to stop regurgitating facts. Let's say you was in, oh God, I feel like preaching now. What if you was in the hospital and I came to visit you and you said to me, amen, I don't feel well, I feel like I'm dying, and I don't think none of this medicine is work, and probably by tomorrow this time, I'm going to be dead. And that's extreme, because I want it to be extreme, because if we measure ourselves, we just close to being extreme like that. If I ask you how your money doing, and if I ask you how's your school attendance, amen. I tease one of my cousins all the time because he was in school just as I am in school. And every time I talked to him, he was talking negative about school. And I said, son, what you need to do is you need to disenroll until you get your mind right. I said, because you really don't want to do this. And your words are telling me you don't want to do this. You didn't hear what I said. Your words are telling me you don't want to do this. Because you regurgitating facts, how hard it is, how difficult it is, and you don't know if you do it. You don't feel like doing your assignment. You're regurgitating facts. Well, if you ask me about school, generally what I'm going to tell you is tough, but I can handle it. If you ask me about school, got a whole lot of reading, but somehow, some way, I'm going to get it ready. Rarely will you hear me say, this is hard and I don't know I'm going to make it. Because I don't really regurgitate what are facts, but it ain't what I'm praying for. I'm praying to be out by a few months. If you're not careful, stay with me. We are regurgitating facts, and we're not bold enough to speak faith to facts that we can see impossibilities happen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.